Welcome to Revitalize and Replant with Mark Clifton, where we equip pastors to take their churches from declining to thriving by pointing them to a new future and a new hope. Join us weekly for encouragement and practical advice in your pastoring journey.
All right, thank you, Dan Hirsch. Dan is not with us right now. I mean, he's with us. He hasn't died or anything. I mean... Dan is no longer with us.
Tough way to start a podcast.
I know. He's out making a whole pickup truck full of money doing more important things than this little podcast. He's doing movie trailers and commercials and all that stuff. But he'll be back, I promise. He'll be back
because we love having Dan.
He's a dear friend. Been my buddy for my whole life. His dad and my dad were roommates in college and best men at each other's weddings. I've known Dan my whole life, and we've enjoyed. I planted a church years ago, and he was the music leader. We planted that thing together.
Where was that one?
That was in Blue Springs, Missouri.
Is that right?
Yes, and we were young, and
I can only imagine.
It was not good. We actually convinced our organist. We had an organist back then. We convinced her to play Yellow Submarine for the offertory if she played it real slow like a church song, and she did, and nobody noticed. That's just one of the many things
I can only imagine, man.
And she played it real slow. And it's, anyway, I'll never forget.
Some people looking around going, I think I've heard this before.
That's a beautiful song. Thank you. That was just great. Okay. Anyway, this is our friend Chuck Lawless. Are you ready? 13 church members who drive me crazy, which is good because I've got 15 members and 13 of them drive me crazy.
Your whole church.
My whole church. 13 types of church members who drive us crazy, all right? And then at the end, we're going to talk about what to do about it.
Okay, right? Yeah. Let's bust through this.
Basically, we're going to remove them from the membership role. No, we're not either.
That's one strategy.
Okay, what are some of the members? See if you have any of these in your church. In fact, get your church directory out right now and circle the pictures of these people. No, I shouldn't say that, but maybe I should.
Well, and here's what we know. We love them all. We love them all. Come on. We love them all. Some are harder to love than others, but we love them all.
Yeah, we love them all. Whatever you say,
Halleck.
I'm
trying to bring you hope this
morning.
Whatever
you say, Halleck.
Okay, but this first one, let's just dive in, because this is a tough one to love. The doom and gloom member.
Nothing ever goes right for this member. It's never his fault or her fault, and you don't even like to see this person coming your way, because it's just whatever is going on, it's not going right.
There's something wrong.
You know, we were that first church that Hirsch and I planted in Independence, Blue Springs, Missouri. We built a building. I was in my early 20s. We got land. We built a building. I was so excited. We were building it ourselves. And it was hot, hot day. We're up there putting the roof on. Hot day. And a bunch of our young men were up there. A couple of them weren't even believers yet. Their wives were coming to our church. But when they found out we were putting the roof on, yeah, they were willing to come help. So we're so excited. These unchurched guys were up there on this really hot day helping us roof this church. And I had this one older member. He drove a Cadillac. He'd have to drive a Cadillac, wouldn't he? Big old white Cadillac. He pulls right up into the yard, right? And he gets out of his Cadillac and he hollers up at us on the roof. He goes, "Hey, what kind of shingles are you guys using?" And the roof was like three-fourths done. And one of those young guys responded the kind it was, "Well, you made a big mistake there, because I'm telling you what, they're not going to last very long." And he got back in his car and drove off.
That was it. No encouragement.
No encouragement. What are we supposed to do, rip them all off? I mean, what the heck? And that's the doom and gloom member. Nothing's ever right. It's not his fault, but you're not doing it right.
That's tough. Okay, here's the next one. Boy, we know this. The on the edge of leaving. On the edge of leaving.
He's always
member.
Threatening to leave you over bet. Something.
There's something.
All right. The thing is, he never does, right? You'd like him to. But it's so much that you have learned, you just ignore his threats. Anyway, and you might want him to leave. But there's always those people that sort of hang that out there. You know, Pastor.
Things have changed around here.
And, you know, we just may not stay. You know, if you don't have something for the youth, I'm afraid we're going to have to go somewhere else. Or if we don't start doing this, I think we're going to have to look for another church. Yeah. That kind of thing. Oh, I just detest that.
Listen, you know what you got to do is you got to call them on that and say, well, let's talk about this. This is a problem. I just had recently somebody... who's been at our church for years, say, "Well, you know what? I just don't trust our pastors anymore."
Really?
Yeah. And I said, "Well, listen, we need to talk about that."
Yeah.
Because that's a significant thing. And I think he realized right away he'd kind of taken it a little too far. And Well, I don't know if I don't trust the pastors. I just, you know, mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about it, man, because here's the truth. It's not good for them. Think about it. If they're just constantly unhappy with your church, if they've got a family, their kids are hearing that at home, it's right. not good for them. It's not good for them spiritually. It's not good for their marriage. And quite frankly, it's not good for the congregation. And so I think with this kind of person, sometimes you just have to have an honest, like just a define the relationship talk with them. You know, and say, where are things at? Can we make this work?
Right.
Because you know who we are.
Well, and again, I do believe that if you're the shepherd, you care for every sheep, right? You don't get to choose the good sheep from the difficult sheep. Yep. In fact, the difficult sheep may need the shepherd more than the good ones do, right? More of your time, I should say. So don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm not saying you immediately lip off to him and go, well, then go ahead and leave. But I think if this becomes a complete habit, I think you do say, well, let me sit down with you. You know, you have a pattern of not being happy here, and I care about your spiritual growth. And maybe you've mentioned leaving several times. Let me suggest some churches that might be better for you, and I'd be happy to help you make that transition.
Yeah, that's really good. That's good. Okay, here's the next one. You ready?
Yes.
The amateur theologian member. Okay, this member thinks he knows theology. And he's always debating something. Usually he has his own theological stance that he fights to promote and defend.
Right. I had a church member years ago who had written a tremendous amount on Moses and the Old Testament and some other stuff. And he had this three-ring binder, and it was some really strange stuff, And he was always wanting to argue with me about it, and he wanted to teach it. Could I have a Sunday night where I could teach this? I mean, you get these people who have these theological bents. They read one book or whatever, and they want to argue about it constantly. The amateur theologian. I love that. They always debate it. They usually have some strange theological stance that they want to promote or defend. I've had some who don't believe in denominations. You know, we all ought to be one denomination. I've had those guys show up at church.
I've had guys who don't believe in church membership.
That's true. I've had too.
And so why do we do membership? Right. Where's that biblical?
Right.
There's always something. There's always something.
Always something,
Okay, how about this next one? The Have You Heard member. Okay, he wants to be in the know about everything in the church. In fact, he's involved in almost all of the church's gossip and gets angry when he's out of the loop.
I haven't heard about that.
Never.
Why didn't I know about that?
That's right.
I didn't know we were going to do this. You have a business meeting and you say, now we decided we're going to go ahead and paint these bathrooms. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I didn't know we were going to paint them. Yeah. Where did we decide that?
Yeah.
Who said we could do that? You know, I know this guy.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And by the way, if you kick him out of your church, there's somebody else that'll take his place.
Yeah.
Because that is, I just love that.
Well, and this is, and you could speak to this, but one of the unique challenges in smaller churches sometimes is this voice is louder.
It is.
Than in larger churches.
It is. And there's this sense where everybody ought to know everything.
Yeah.
And if I walk in and a picture has been moved or a Sunday school classroom has been changed, who said we could do that? I didn't know we were going to do that. And after a while you go, do I have to tell everybody everything?
Yeah, exactly.
And it can be really frustrating.
That's right.
For sure. Number five, the church shopping member. In other words, they show up about every 6 months and reaffirms the commitment. Oh, I love this. We're so happy, you know, and we're going to be coming. And our family, we really love being here. They come for two or three Sundays, and then they're gone for 6 months again.
We call these, we call these fans in our church. We identify them as fans, okay? They're not attenders. They're not members. They're fans. We love this church. We love our pastors. We love what we're about. Calvary's the best. It's unbelievable. See them in 3 months. They come back. You're texting them. Everything okay? We love it. We couldn't be more in. It's unbelievable. You know? And it's like, okay, what's really going on here? You know, are you going to other churches or what's... Man, no, man. We love this thing.
I know.
It's actually the hardest. This is one of the hardest person to shepherd.
It really is.
Because you're like, they're not negative necessarily. No.
And what it is, in their life, they just have this pattern of inconsistency. Yeah. And all of a sudden, something happens. We need you back in church.
Yeah.
And so they come for two or three Sundays, perhaps they're all in, and then they're gone again for two or three months.
Yep.
And it can get so frustrating.
Yep. And with this church shopper piece, it's like, so they may go check out some other churches, but they always end up back.
Well, you mentioned a moment ago that there's some guys who have a theological bent that they don't believe in church membership.
Yeah.
And that's because it gives them a freedom. If I want to go for 6 months and hear this preacher because I like him, I can do that. And then I can come back here because because, man, we love this church.
Yeah, yeah.
But then there's this good worship team over here, and we want to go over there. And then, and so they just move around from place to place, especially in an urban environment.
That's right.
They
exactly.
can do that. Yep. How about number six?
Okay. This is great. The constitutional lawyer member. No, nobody knows the church constitution like this member does. And he brings out the documents anytime he doesn't like something.
That's right. Absolutely.
But, man, we've seen this in specifically in church revitalization
work. Of course
work.
We have.
You know, in fact, this guy has ended many attempts to replant
yes.
churches, sadly.
And legally.
Yeah, that's right.
We'll talk about we're going to have an adoption, right?
Yep.
And this church is going to come in and going to adopt. Well, they can't do that. Constitution doesn't allow it. Well, the church is going, no, we can't do it. I mean, I remember specifically at Warner Road Baptist Church, when I went there, they had a huge constitution and bylaws like every other church, because the church used to run 800 and now it had 18. And I said, look, if I'm going to come, then we're going to suspend the constitution and bylaws. And for the next year, I'm going to pick two of you members and myself. And the three of us are going to make every decision short of borrowing money, selling the property, or closing the church. Well, we can't do that because the Constitution won't let us. Well, we had a former Superior Court judge in the state of Missouri who was a member of our church. And he had Parkinson's, and he was homebound. He wasn't able to attend, but everybody trusted him. He'd been a deacon and a key member mm-hmm. of that church and a Superior Court judge. So I went over and I talked to the judge, and I said, I would like to do this. And he said, you can do it. He said, look, as long as you have the president of the organization, the treasurer, and you send an annual report, this was the state of Missouri, and as long as the church agrees to set the constitution bylaws aside for a year, the church can do it.
You can do it.
He said the church. He said it exists based on consensus of its membership.
Mm.
And so I went back, and they said I could. But I, you know, again, you get somebody who's the letter of that law. We've found in revitalization, sometimes they'll put a stop to it and say, look, we can't do this. The Constitution won't allow it. And it's like, good night, nurse. Yeah. What about the New Testament?
Yeah.
And you can change the Constitution. Yeah. The church can change it. But I love that constitutional lawyer that's there.
No, that's good. Okay, here's the next one.
Yep.
The internet sermon troll member. He listens to everybody else's sermons online and then critiques the pastor's sermons in light of others. Oh, boy, this is an encourager. Gee whiz. Well, it's true. I mean, we live in a time where we have access to the greatest preaching, living or dead. I mean, you can listen to Martin Lloyd-Jones sermons.
I know you can.
You can listen to Sproul. You can listen to Piper, whoever you want.
I listen to Martin Lloyd-Jones for the jokes. The guy is hilarious. No, I'm sorry. No, you.
And he has a lot of them.
You've got to listen to Martin Lloyd-Jones. I love him, man. That guy was serious.
The Word of God.
The Word of God. I love that. No, I was anyway. But I love George Jones. He's one of my favorite preachers.
Yeah.
But you're right. You can listen to Lloyd-Jones, or you can listen to who's the guy in Houston with the big church?
Joel Osteen.
Yeah,
you can listen to whoever. Those are two extremes.
Two extremes right there. But they're going to compare your preaching to that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so. So, yeah, I know it happens. It sure does. Yeah.
You know what? And here's what I would say. Here's an encouragement. When that guy comes up to you and shares, you know, I heard a sermon on the same passage, and man, I loved what he did with that.
Yes.
You know what? In your flesh, you want to put him in a headlock and pile drive him. But instead, put your arm around him, give him a hug, and say, I bet it was great. I bet it was great, bud. You know what?
Yeah.
Doing the best we can, and isn't God's word great? You got to keep it positive.
Yeah. You're right.
Don't throw him in the ring.
I've heard that. I like what you said, but I heard Adrian Rogers, and he said, yada, yada, yada.
I loved how he put it. And you know, going back to a few podcasts ago, remember, everything we do, we could do better.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? I bet Adrian just knocked it out of the park.
I bet he did, and I'm glad that blessed you. There you go. All right.
Okay, you ready for the next one?
Yes.
The nostalgia member.
She knows everything about the church's history, and sees her role as protecting the past and fighting against anything new.
Ooh.
And again, in revitalization, replanting, we find that all the time. We have to protect the past. We can't remove that piece of art or that picture from the wall. We can't change anything in the sanctuary. We can't change the bylaws or the constitution. Obviously, you've got some nostalgia members that just know everything about the church's history.
And a lot of that, and we've talked about this before, but is there are deep memories oftentimes associated. I just always think about a sweet older woman who sat with her husband for 45 years in the same pew. And when you start talking about taking pews out, you know, sometimes it can be the negative, you know.
Yeah, but I get that.
I think you've got to shepherd people through that change at the same time. Okay, here's the next one, the unforgiving saint.
Isn't that true? Angry over something 30 years ago, and he's never going to let it go. And he can spiritualize the reason he's angry with it for the best of them.
That's
tough. You've got people in your church that are just, again, something happened to them decades ago or 6 years ago, and they're never going to let it go. And they're just not going to forgive anybody about it. And if you confront them with forgiveness, well, they've got a reason why they're behaving the way they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Number 10.
Okay, here we go. The on permanent sabbatical member. No matter what you do, this member refuses to serve in the church. I've done my duty in the past.
That's right.
I'm done. I've put in my time.
That's right. All right. I don't have the time right now, either way. But the permanent sabbatical, I like that. They're just never going to serve.
I'm in a season of rest.
Dude,
you've been there for 12 years.
I'm about ready to call out some names here because there have been some people I have talked to and they have told me that very thing, right?
Every year you go back, hey, I just, you know, just want to check in and, you know, you've got gifts the Lord's given you.
I've done my work. It's time to let other people do it.
Okay, we got three more. The unidentified pot stirrer member.
In public, he or she is faithful, loving, and a needed member. Behind the scenes, they're stirring up constant trouble and division.
Oh, it's hard.
Oh, I hear it all the time.
That's tough.
And you're the last one to know it.
I know.
I have so many times I have brought people so close to myself and to working together with me and giving them real leadership because they just are so affirming of what we're doing, so affirming of my leadership, so affirming of the church. And then things begin to go bad and you don't know what's going on. And finally somebody comes to you and says, do you know what he's been saying about you?
No.
Oh, man, he's been saying that. And what in the world?
I know. Where'd it come from?
Where did that come from?
I know. It's so true.
It is so deceitful and so true. And, you know, by the way, we're joking about these, right?
Yeah.
But I think we do have to be realistic. If this is a constant pattern, some of these perhaps are unregenerate church members.
Yes.
Now, some are just backslidden.
Hold on. Yeah. Keep going. I think that's so important.
Some are backslidden. Yeah. They're not unregenerate necessarily.
Yeah. But some are.
But some may be.
Yeah.
And if they're unregenerate, they're not going to respond to anything you say or anything you do. So the unidentified pot stirrer, who in public is very faithful and supportive of everything, but behind the scenes is creating all kinds of division. Number 12, the financial threat member.
Oh, boy.
He reminds you that he will withhold his money if things don't go his way. And he generally believes that decreased giving will create chaos and make the church listen to him.
Have you encountered this?
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. I mean, a couple of years ago, I did some I was asked to come to a church, was asking me to come and do a transitional ministry and make some significant changes. And the deacon said, we want to empower you to make these changes. And I thought it's because they didn't know how. They knew how. They were just afraid. Mm. And so they empowered me to make the changes.
Sure.
So I made the changes.
Oh, boy.
The older adults became vehemently angry with me, so much so that a bunch of them would go to Sunday school and then leave and not stay for worship.
Mm.
I guess they just got so full of the Shekinah glory during Sunday school, their cup was so full, they couldn't take anymore.
Yeah.
So one Sunday, I met them in the hallway before they left after Sunday school, and I said, hey, you know, I've noticed we're not coming as long as you're preaching, you're what's wrong with this church, yada, yada, yada. So they called me and said, we want to meet you. So they met me a few weeks later on a weekday day at the church. Three or four of them had been elected to speak to me, and they said these very things. All you care about are the young people. You don't know who pays the bills in this church. Mm-hmm. We've paid the bills for all these years. We pay the bills now, and we have decided that until you leave, we're not going to be giving anymore.
Wow.
That's in other words, that was to pressure me to leave.
Yeah.
I said, well, the problem with that is I don't need this money because I got a full-time job.
Yeah.
So, you know, and they did say, what do you think is going to happen if we quit giving our money? And again, because I was the interim and I didn't need their money, I said, well, I think the church will probably do better than it's ever done before because this church isn't funded by your money. It's funded by Christ, and he'll always find a way to fund his church. Now, that was easy for me to say as the interim, but yes, I have had people say that to me.
Yeah.
And you've got people in your church who hold that over you. And by the way, Oh, my goodness. Our friend Brian Croft says, if you're not willing to get fired, you probably can't really pastor the church. Mm. And if you, and look, I know if you are making, you know, bare minimum to survive with your family, can this, we've been talking about some silly things, but this isn't silly. You get a couple of members who make a financial threat, and the church is barely making your payroll anyway, and you got to pay your mortgage, you got to pay your insurance for your kids, you got to pay your car payment, and two or three of these members come to you and say, Pastor, if you don't quit doing this, we're going to quit giving. That means you're not going to get paid. Now, that's serious.
That's serious.
I'm not trying to make fun of this, but there are those people who will try to create chaos by threatening to hold their money.
Okay, there's one more.
The professional critic. This member points out everything that they think is wrong as if they make a living by it and feed off it and magnify the problems. I mean, there are some that doesn't matter what you do. You can set up the room one way, they're going to criticize it. You can change the way you preach in this way, they're going to criticize it. You can change the preschool room, they're going to criticize it. The end of the result of this is simply this. God has called us to be the pastor and shepherd to some really difficult sheep. And they're not easy to deal with. And to be honest, folks like these make pastoral ministry less fun. But here's the encouragement. Take time to pray specifically for every member of your church. God will change a few of them. And the ones he won't change, he'll give you the grace to grow and to be the kind of pastor you need to be, even for them. Amen. And that's where you have to look. All right?
That's good.
All right, so 13 of these. And by the way, if any of them are in your church, man, they all are. We've got them one way or another. And you know what? You're probably not all that great of a pastor anyway. So I used to say to my people, if I knew everything about you, I wouldn't want to preach to you. And if you knew everything about me, you wouldn't want to listen to me. So it's an equal deal. All right, check us out at churchreplanters.com. By the way, I'm hitting the table. Did you notice that? And I've coughed a few times. Hey. I have a cold, but we don't have a cough button. That costs too much, and NAM won't pay for the cough button. Did you make notes? We're going to remove the cough?
We'll
leave the cough in there. It adds a certain reality
to it. That's
right. We like the cough. All right. Check us out at Replanters, churchreplanters.com, and pray for my cough.
Thanks for joining us today on Revitalize and Replant. This podcast is brought to you by the North American Mission Board, where we help dying or struggling churches regain health for the glory of God and the good of their communities. If you found this conversation helpful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on your favorite platform. To learn more about becoming a replanting pastor or to explore resources about revitalization for your own church, visit churchreplanters.com.